11. It's 9 past 11. Now, our next special guest is Mark Kaduba, who's a registered psychologist and who currently runs his own coaching practice in Brisbane, where he helps people to develop their potential and improve their well-being. And Mark's talking on managing alcoholism and alcohol in everyday life today. Welcome to 91.7 again, Mark.
Hi, Leslie. Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure to have you back. I told you that I had some fabulous feedback that one of those women that we know has told me that you always talk great sense and she loves listening in. So,
oh, excellent. Tell her the check's in the mail.
So, how are you going before we start on your topic? How are you in this heat?
Yeah, the heat's pretty extraordinary at the moment, but it was good to have a bit of rain yesterday to, reduce it. Did you say how the heat was going?
Yeah, it was so bad, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, but I managed to get a swim in yesterday, so.
Well, you're a lucky man.
I am. No. I've been good. I've got to practice what I preach.
Today you're talking on managing alcoholism.
Yeah.
Alcohol in everyday life.
Yeah, I am, because I think it's such a huge issue in Australian society.
It's an incredible issue. I can't believe that what I'm hearing lately. You know, there's so much of it, isn't there?
Well, there is, especially at this time of the year as well, with all the Christmas parties and whatever. So I thought it would be a topical issue to talk about.
Absolutely topical. Now, okay, Mark. So look.
Well, in a nutshell, I think, yes, we do. I think we're probably one of the worst nations in the world. I think definitely when you go overseas, we have this reputation of being alcoholics, really.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, it's true if you go overseas. But honestly, I think our Australians' view towards alcohol is actually a little bit scary. Just how much we accept it. Yeah, obviously it is legal and it's okay, but you know, just the behaviour that we accept from people, you know, people behaving badly when they've had too much to drink.
Yes, and you just say, oh, that's all right, he's drunk, don't worry, or she's drunk, don't worry about it.
Exactly, yeah. So I think we actually allow a lot of people to slip through the cracks. So you have the alcoholics who, you know, need a drink pretty much every day to survive, and they obviously get the help that they need, but there's people who might not be alcoholics, but not far off it. But they, I find that they're actually the ones who are slipping through the gaps and the ones that we really need to, I don't know, be looking after.
Well, tell us about those who slip through the cracks then. This is a very interesting topic. You mean like people wouldn't even suspect?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think, as I said, we're not giving them enough attention. That's what I'm worrying about. And these are a lot of the people who I'm seeing in my practice. And alcohol for these people is actually having a negative impact on their lives. That's what people don't understand. They aren't actually able to control their alcohol intake, and they're the ones who I guess they're the ones who you know, they don't need alcohol to function, but I think they're very much binge drinking on the weekends or whatever. So it's, you know, it's affecting their life. And And I guess no one really worries about them because they are a functioning member of society. You know, they can hold down a job. But things such as, you know, their relationships and their health is definitely suffering. Maybe not now, but maybe in, you know, 3-5 years' time.
It'll come through then.
It will come through, yeah.
Just elaborate a bit on binge drinking, because I hear so much of it in the news these days that binge drinking is the problem.
Well, if you actually look at it technically, binge drinking is drinking more than about 3 or 4 standard drinks in you know, the one sitting, which you know, really isn't that many if you look at people on the whole.
No.
So I know that that's a technical definition, and some people might think that's a little bit harsh, and maybe it is. But I know there's people who are drinking, you know, 10, 16, 20 standard drinks in a standard sitting regularly. And this is, you know, a lot of people are, every time they are drinking alcohol, they're binge drinking.
So then it doesn't mean they do it every night, but it's when they do it.
Yeah.
They're
drinking
away.
Big. And often they find it difficult to, I don't know, keep to, you know, 1 or 2.
Yes. Well, that's what I wondered, because that's what we're hearing in the news all the time, is binge drinking. And I thought,
well, definitely.
Maybe, yes.
Especially with schoolies as well, it's also topical. with Schoolies Week thing recently.
There's
definitely a lot of binge drinking going on there.
Yeah,
I heard about that in the media as well.
Yes.
So who knows whether that's a media beat up or whether that's actually the case.
That's right. Yeah, but that's what the media has said, hasn't it?
Well, exactly, and I think it's something that we really need to tackle is binge drinking specifically, but I guess alcoholism generally.
Yeah.
What's the solution? Well, I think changing our perception around alcohol and what's acceptable behaviour is a big one, especially around acceptable behaviour around binge drinking. You know, how you do that, I don't know. Obviously, public education campaigns. And I guess to be a bit more strict in terms of what alcoholism is.
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholism just isn't, you know, needing a drink to survive. It's, it's binge drinking on a regular basis, I think. And what we'll find is a lot more people will fit into that category.
Ah, right.
And I wouldn't necessarily agree that binge drinking is consuming more than three standard drinks, but maybe it might be a bit higher, maybe five or six, but anything more than that on a regular basis, if it's a regular pattern of behaviour, then I think people's friends and family really should be, should be saying something to the parties concerned. Well, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm finding is, a lot of people are depressed these days and they're self-medicating through alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using the alcohol to to feel better about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So but also changing the youth's view of alcohol, I think, if anything, if we're looking at Schoolies Week, for example, I think it's getting worse and worse even for me, eight years ago, going to Schoolies, it didn't seem to be as out of control as it is now. So and the youth is you might have been 17 or 18 where you get your first drink, but maybe it might be 13 or 14 now. So the age is getting lowered and lowered. I think there's a government campaign at the moment now to sort of extend when you first give your child a drink.
Yes, and in the olden days, weren't allowed to drink until you're 21 legally.
Well, exactly, yeah. It is, but look at I have all sorts of issues with college students binge drinking over there when they first get to college.
Mm.
But also the opposite end of the spectrum is when you're 10, to have a little sip of wine or beer at dinner with your parents, and so you actually get used to alcohol. It's not this wonder drug that everyone talks about, but you can't have.
No.
So I don't know. There's different streams of thought as to how to go about it.
And different cultures, like look at the Europeans.
Exactly. Yeah.
They have from when they're little.
Precisely.
That's part of their meal. Their nightly meal, and it doesn't matter what age you are, Mark.
Yeah.
It is part of their meal. They have a wine with meal.
Well, exactly, and I think that's a pretty good way of going about things. Exactly.
But we seem to be, we are a country of extremes, don't we? We seem to be, even our weather is extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, dear. But look, we'll come back and speak with Mark and find out if we've got a friend or a family member, what should we do about it? So we're just going to break for a moment and back with Mark, anthropologist.
Fantastic. It does a little bit, but also, if you can get alcohol under control, I think you can enjoy your life a lot more. So it's just a matter of how you look at it, I guess.
So you control it, it doesn't control
well,
you.
And that's also another good point that I also want to raise is people think, they've got to be drinking a lot of alcohol to have a good time. And I think that's a reason why a lot of people do drink alcohol.
Mm.
But also, if you look at that technically, I think that's a bit of a sign of dependence on alcohol. If you need to have it to have a good time. So, changing views towards it, I think, is the main thing.
And yes, changing your mindset. So, look, for our listeners, if you have a friend, family member, or you think has a problem with alcohol, alcohol. What should we do?
Well, yes, it's a tough one, isn't it, Leslie? Yes, it is. Because I guess firstly, you know, they need to want to change. What do they say? You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
That's right.
And that metaphor is very apt for you know, if you do have a family member or friend who you think has a problem with alcohol. So I don't know. Maybe as a practical thing, firstly, you can bring the subject up with them, because communication is very important in life. Obviously, don't do it when they're drunk, because they won't remember the conversation in the morning.
No.
But often it's best to do it the night after a big night of drinking, when they're sober and not feeling that fantastic. But you know, I think it's a matter of continually reinforcing that point. You can have the conversation once and they'll probably forget about it 3 days later. I guess it's a matter of having that conversation regularly over over a period of time. And also, you know, establishing some concrete goals with them. You might want to establish some goals around, I guess, the amount of alcohol that they're going to be consuming weekly or in a given sitting or monthly. And I guess hold them accountable to that.
And it's a very touchy subject.
Oh, yeah.
It is extremely touchy, because yourself, a drinker, doesn't think you're doing anything wrong. You know, oh, that's all right, we're just having a few. It's extremely touchy subject.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like, I actually talk about this through, you know, personal experience with, you know, with friends and family. So, you know, I don't pretend to be, you know, the perfect person when dealing with this stuff. No. And it is a very, very touchy subject. You got to tread very lightly around this stuff. But as I said, at the end of the day, the old adage is true. You know, one drink is too many and 1,000 is never enough. And there's some people who... they just can't control their alcohol consumption. They probably do need to be a complete teetotaler.
Yes, that is right with a lot of people, and I believe too, Alcoholics Anonymous is a wonderful.
It is. It's a great program that they've got there, and that's what they say. Like, you know, one drink is too many, 1,000 is never enough. You just got to work out what your personality is. A lot of it is. Around personality types, and they reckon alcoholics or people who have trouble with their alcohol are the addictive personalities.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, whether it's work, you know, they get addicted to things quite easily.
Yes, and that's a fact, you know, from just observing over the years of living, and of course running into a lot of different people. I would say it was definitely the... The nature of the beast.
Definitely.
Try to change your mindset, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, Mike, you're a psychologist.
Yes, I'm a psychologist, and I deal a lot with alcoholism and alcohol-related problems.
Right.
So that's part of the reason why I decided to talk about this issue today, because it's very prevalent within society and also within my practice. Just want to let people know that, I don't know, if they need some help, they can. And they can do that through seeing a psychologist. They can get Medicare rebates now. So it's very affordable to see a psychologist. So I encourage your listeners, if you know, if they're dealing with this problem or any other problem in their life, that to go talk to their GP to discuss it, and the GP can give them a referral to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and they can go from there, I guess.
And also...
Definitely. It's a really good incentive from the government. You can get up to 12 sessions per calendar year to see a psychologist. That's quite a number of people. Oh, sorry, a number of our sessions.
Yes, it is people. A number of sessions, which is fabulous, and about time that it's being recognised, isn't it?
Definitely, it is about time. And I think I really encourage listeners to take advantage of that.
What's your intake of alcohol?
What's
and
my,
you can't manage it yourself, Mark?
My intake I don't know, call a spade a spade. If you do, whether it's yourself or other people with alcohol, don't sort of sweep it under the carpet. You know, if people are struggling with alcohol, you know, to communicate that with them and to get the help that's very affordable and readily available, I guess.
Wonderful. Well, thanks very much for your time again, and over the year, Mark.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Thanks for having me this year. It's been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot.
All right, see ya.
Bye.